Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. And tonight is October 28th, 2016. I'm Julia Cannon, and tonight I have with me Suzanne Spooner, and you're on location in San Francisco. Is that right?
Yeah, Suzanne? I'm lucky.
Oh my gosh.
Visiting friends just outside of San Francisco.
How cool. What's it like up there right now?
Right now it's beautiful. It's been rainy, which I guess they've needed some of that. But yesterday we were out and about around San Francisco and it was sunny and beautiful.
Oh, how nice. And it's been very nice here too. So I love it because last week it was cold and I guess somebody heard me and they sent warmth. So it was so nice.
Okay.
I love it.
That's nice.
So I'm excited about our show tonight. Mm-hmm. So let me give out the call-in number if anybody wants to call in with any questions about our subject matter tonight. And that is 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. Suzanne has so wonderfully conceded, been willing to join me tonight to discuss this topic. It's been one that I have been seeing like ever since, just right after Mom passed. I mean, it started up actually pretty quickly. And I just let it go. And I've just kind of watched things, and people have sent me messages, or people have just, you know, it just kind of just kept going and going. And then now it's like, you know what, that's it.
and the topic being people channeling Dolores, is that?
Exactly. Yeah. That's, yeah, we always going to get to that point here. but yes. Oh, you want me to say it? What was okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, everybody, you know, and one thing it's like, you know, right away, and I didn't have a problem with, you know, people saying, okay, she's coming through, and helping practitioners and coming through sessions and things like that. And that's, and, you know, and I don't doubt that she is, you know, and people were sending messages as to what she's saying and things like that. You know, and that's all fine. You know, cause it was like, oh, I guess, yeah. And I apologize for my stammering right now. I'm trying to get a place here. It'll come in. This topic, like I said, it's personal.
Yeah,
it is personal.
I think sometimes people don't quite take that into account. So let me take over for just a minute. Would that be all right?
That'd be wonderful.
Okay. So, you know, this ability that many of us have, all of us have, of being able to tap into other realms, other dimensions, you know, manifest in lots of different mediums. You know, some people do automatic writing. Some people use a pendulum. Messages come in dreams. You know, a certain song will play just at the right time with exactly the lyrics that you need to hear. We do it in hypnosis in our QHHT sessions all the time. And there's channeling. So channeling is one way that we can tap into information, to connecting in with those who have passed. And I think in a great degree, all of that, when it comes down to it, you're connecting into what I might call the collective consciousness. And then you get into what, you know, what is that, right? Because people can really dissect that down to an identity. And what do you think about that?
on the whole thing in general, or on like,
yeah, you know, you're tapping into we mm-hmm. all do this. We all tap into this higher mm-hmm. Level of ourselves, or the high self, the subconscious. There's so many names: collective consciousness, God self.
Absolutely.
It's not a rare thing for anybody to do, I don't think.
Well, no. And they've been telling us, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is what, you know, these are our abilities, and this is what anybody can do. And they want us to do them. And they want us to do it, period. You know, this is where we're going. And, you know, we've been saying for years, these are your innate, these are your rightful abilities. And if you don't see them coming in, you know, you're just not looking, really. You're not right. Seeing, because they'll come in many ways. And all the things that you were listing, all the different ways that people are communicating with the other side, see, those are just different mechanisms of communicating. And I'd like to go into those we can a little bit, because I'd like to educate people a little bit on those.
Sure. That's great.
Like, you know, because that's what they are, you know, like the automatic writing. And we've got, you know, some authors with books on these topics, on some of these, like the automatic writing. Sherry Cortland has several books. All of her books have been through automatic writing. And Carolyn Greer Daly, it's with her guides with automatic writing. Everything is all about that, you know, and it's how it came to them and everything. And they even do workshops and teach how to do it. But it just goes right past you. It's just coming through you. So it's like bypassing the conscious mind, and it goes right on to the paper. So, see, in the pendulum, you do the pendulum, and how would you describe what happens there?
Well, when I use that, I use a pendulum and a chart. This is my own process, and it happened many years ago. And what I found with that very early on was that there is a feeling of the message coming through me, not from me, just like you said. The manner of which things were said didn't sound like how I talk mm-hmm. In a conversation, certainly. And for me, I like the pendulum in the chart, because it showed me that I was getting my conscious mind out of the way, because the pendulum would swing from letter to letter, to, you know, spelling out words and sentences and paragraphs. You know, but I also do automatic keyboarding, and that's, you know, it's the kind of the same thing. You kind of center yourself and, you know, maybe ask a question in your mind and just let the thoughts come. You know, it's kind of like when we give that great tip to our clients in QHHT sessions, you know, just say the very first thing that comes to mind, and that's, you know, what you write out or type out if you're on a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more just trusting that you can do it, and sitting down and doing it, practicing. You know, maybe, you know, when I actually started doing automatic writing, I realized years before my process came through me, and I would just sit down with an open notebook and just write the thoughts that came. But at the time, I didn't understand what that was, and it seemed really weird because it didn't sound like me. And I closed the book and I put it away for a long time. But after I started using the pendulum, I took that book back out and read again and went, oh my gosh, I was already doing this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, well, like when you're saying that with the keyboarding, I was just thinking, you know, I've said many times, soul speak, you know, people will compliment me on soul speak. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll take that because I didn't write it. It's like, but, you know, so much of that just came through me. It really wasn't me doing it, you know.
Well, and think about that, though, Julia. You know, think about like all the great works of literature, or a painter, you know, Botticelli or Renoir, and you know, where are they getting that inspiration from? Right? It's kind of the same thing. They're just using a different tool.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right. Yeah, it's like it's something that just comes through you, and it bypasses this, you know, this ego, the conscious part of you, it just goes on and it just goes into this automatic part or something.
Right. But, you know, here's where I'll say, you know, here's where I'm mindful when I'm teaching people how to do this, or when I'm doing my own messages, or I'm listening to others, you know, does the information feel like it's based in love?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is it, if it makes me feel good to listen to it or to read it, that to me is a great indication that I'm onto something solid. But, you know, if the messages are bossy, if they are inappropriate, if they put somebody down or aren't kind, to me, that's a big red flag that I'm pulling this information in from somewhere other than where I wish to be. Or the message that I'm reading from somebody else or listening to just doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you always have to be mindful. You can't just, you know, assume, I guess, you sit down and your conscious mind isn't going to pop in and, you know, have some egoic thoughts or misinformation, that's just never going to happen. I think you always have to be mindful and discerning.
Right. And that was a point that I was going to make here as we got into the channeling part of it, is that you have to always remember that there's a filter there, and that is the conscious mind, you know, because this is going through there. And as much as you may, you know, think that you are over to the side and it's, you know, it's coming through and it's bypassing, it's still coming through a filter. And you always have to remember there's a filter there. You have to remember the filter. You have to take that filter into account. So you have to look at information that's out there and remember, you always have to take that filter into account.
Exactly. And I think, you know, there's lots of people that have channeled for a long, long time. And, you know, as you get into maybe that community, or you're talking with friends that are following the same persons, you know, some people go like, you know, that's, you know, what was that? You know, and other people are like, oh, you know, that really felt well. So I, you know, there's not everybody is going to resonate with the same thing. However, there's also other things to take into account. You know, when you're channeling information that's from a very high source, you know, I think the information is very universal. You know, I think many people can relate to those very high universal messages. I don't think you hear a lot of wondering and doubting, you know, in those scenarios. I think sometimes it's the other way, unfortunately. And, you know, that's, I think, where you have to be mindful.
Right, right. Some of the other, like you were talking about, some of the other ways that messages, you know, people communicate with the other side, like you're talking about dreams. The other side may communicate with us, or we receive messages.
All the time.
Dreams. Pardon?
I think that happens with us all the time.
All the time. And I think we don't even realize it, or we kind of let that one go, the dreams, until we, you know, until you mentioned, I think you mentioned one time something about dreams. I was just really not even acknowledging that one. It was like, oh, I had a dream, you know, and it was like, I wasn't really taking those as seriously, because we have dreams all the time. And it's just, and then it's like, oh, wait a minute. There was something about that dream.
Yeah.
I was in that dream. So those dreams.
Something will happen the next week and you go, oh my gosh, that's really weird.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, pay attention to your dreams. They're, you know, sometimes they're symbolic and they're telling you, you know, they're delivering messages in symbolic ways, and they're trying to tell you things that way. But then there's other dreams where they're telling you things in this way, and you can tell the difference.
Well, you know, I can tell from personal experience. When my dad passed, for a while after he died, I would have what I would firmly call dream visits with him, and it felt different than a dream. Mm-hmm. I always woke up feeling like I had traveled long ways, that, you know, it was very profound. I could remember everything down to the, you know, the tiniest detail. And there was always, you know, something that he was telling me that, you know, just really hit home at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think, you know, that's what you're talking about, other than the symbolic dreams. You know, I think we travel, and I think we go lots of places. And I think, personally, I think we do a lot more work in our sleep time than we do in our waking time.
I do too. We're all over the place. I want to know just one time, just what we really do. I would like to stay awake.
Yeah. You think back, I think children are the ones that really tap in so easily to all of this. You know, and, you know, little children will tell you about these wild dreams where they were, you know, in another world, or, you know, the creatures that didn't, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, I think they're so connected. Mm-hmm. It's very easy for them to transverse. I think as we get older, sometimes we forget our connection, and we discount those symbols in the dreams and the dream visits and things like that.
Right. Right. Well, exactly. And some of the, yeah, there's a lot of magic, and I like that word discount. That was the word I was trying to find a while ago. We discount so much of the things, and magic is a lot of it that we discount. We have forgotten so much of the magic, and that's why we don't see it in our everyday world anymore. And it's all around us.
Oh, it is. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when people talk about coincidence, you know, oh, that was a coincidence. And this just came up in a conversation 20 minutes ago with my friends that I'm staying with. You know, this is such a coincidence that I met you, because 3 days ago, somebody brought up, you know, this topic, you know, I'm like, you know, and I'm giggling, like, hee, 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 you know, that's not a coincidence, you know. But I think when you step out of that mindset, and you really start understanding that everything is on point and on purpose, that's when you start seeing the magic, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there are no coincidences. Everything is orchestrated. Ooh, I like that word. It's all orchestrated.
Mm. Like a symphony.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we're playing our parts beautifully.
You know, and how many times have you, you know, been in a quandary in your life, and all of a sudden you're driving and you turn on the radio and, you know, just the most profound lyrics are being sung to you?
Exactly. Exactly. You get exactly what you need just at the right time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then another, as we know, through the hypnosis, we're always communicating with the other side, as you said. Yeah. You know, we're communicating with the higher self. And then many times, I mean, we can get to the spirit side anytime we want to. So we get all kinds of information there. And we go traversing the dimensions and everywhere. So,
you know, and that's, I think, you know, when the practitioners talk about the, you know, on the official forum, when they're sharing stories where Dolores has popped into sessions, and that it's always, you know, when that happens in my sessions, you know, I'm always like, all right, cool, you know, that's great, you know, and I listen to it, and I always assume there's a possibility, and for the most part, they're just very sweet, kind messages, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like in other sessions where people are tapping into their loved ones, you know, I think that usually resonates a little bit more because they're so connected to that one. But again, you know, if somebody is in a session with me and they're saying, you know, so-and-so is here and they want to talk to you, you know, I still consider it's going through my client's filter. You have to be mindful of, you know, not taking everything just at, I'm losing the word I want to use. You just can't take for granted, right? I mean, you want to be mindful of the information, I guess.
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah, because like you said, you have to realize what's the rest of it.
Exactly. I guess it's,
yeah. And then I guess that takes us to, you know, the larger part here is, you know, 'cause there's that, and then we get to this next part. Maybe before we get here, we have a caller on the line, with a question about the method you use, the methods of communication. So I guess we can ask, I'm not completely sure what she's asking here, so we'll let her explain it real quick. Okay, so Linda, if you can explain exactly what you're asking, okay? Hi.
Well, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I've read many books, and I'm so fascinated with anything that the late Dolores Cannon wrote, but I'm not a therapist yet or anything, practitioner or anything, but mm-hmm. I'm just curious. I'm an empath and an angel card reader, et cetera, and everything. And I guess what I'm asking is, could we, I don't even know how to ask it. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
But I just want to say thank you so much, because her books are fantastic, and I don't know anyone in my life who really believes anything I've shared from her books. But I feel like this is what I want to say. If I share, I feel like awake, but the people around me are not. So I don't know if that's
why they're around you.
Right.
You know, can I address that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Hi, Linda. This is Suzanne. We were just discussing this with friends, that, you know, people feel like that nobody around them is into this stuff or open to this stuff. And I will tell you, though, you know, in my sessions, you know, so many times I get people that say that. What it has shown me is that I think many, many people are into this, are open and willing to look at it. They may not be talking about it because they're afraid, you know, of repercussions or how people might view them. But, you know, I think, you know, just speaking to people in public, you know, having in sessions, being on airplanes, talking to people that just come across my path each day, you know, almost everybody will say, you know, this really weird thing happened to me once. You know, so everybody's got a story. And I really think, you know, when you're around your friends, if, you know, you can just drop some seeds and just see, you know, what they do with it, you know, like, oh, you know, I read this and that was kind of interesting. And you might be surprised, you know, how much they really do know about it or are willing to talk about it.
Yeah, or they may be open to it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's important. I think that helps, you know, awaken, you know, others. You know, maybe, you know, the first couple times they hear about a certain book, you know, let's take a Dolores book. And, you know, by the third time, you know, I've heard people say, you know, gosh, I had this book recommended to me for so many times, I finally decided to read it. So I think they just, you know, sometimes we need breadcrumbs dropped, and maybe that's what you do, Linda. Maybe you drop the breadcrumbs that help waken those up around you.
Oh, thank you. This is inspiring. Thank you.
You're welcome. You bet.
Yeah. Okay, so on to the next one is actually the channeling. And if we want to define that a little bit further, in channeling, there are different types. And in one of our authors actually defined them, Stuart Wilson in Beyond Limitations, he defined as like there's deep trance channeling and the fully aware conscious channeling. And the deep trance channeling is what, I mean, very few people do that. Another one of our authors does do that, and that's Blair Styra from New Zealand. And he's one of the very rare that will actually get up and move around. Have you seen him do that?
Yes, Blair is amazing.
Isn't he? It's like, because most of the ones that you'll see do that will stay in one position. They'll just sit and with their eyes closed, and where they, it's like their consciousness leaves and then the other entity, you know, comes in, and they are just completely, you know, their consciousness is completely removed. But he actually gets up and moves around. Actually, he gets up and jumps around and runs around and everything, and his eyes are open and stuff. And that was a thing that he actually had to work on for quite a while. In fact, he made a decision. He said, I'm not going to do this until I can do that. So I'm not going to be sitting there in a chair with my eyes closed. You know, that just looks weird to an audience. It looks weird to people, period. You know, it just, I don't like that. It looks scary. And so I just don't want to do that. So he just kept doing it until he could make his eyes be open and he could move around, until he could have it to where the other being could use his body, you know. And it was like an experiment and stuff. So that was really cool. But that's the deep trance, you know, that's one form. And then this other one is the fully aware conscious channeling. And then that's the one that's very prevalent where, and to me, that's really, these others are forms of that, I would think, like the automatic writing and the pendulum, and they are all just other forms of that, because it's like the, you know, conscious mind is still there. It just kind of steps to the side and the other moves through, but you're still aware of everything that's going on, and you're aware of what's happening, you know, what's coming in at the same time. And you are, it's kind of like there's a monitoring system going on. And I know, like when I'm doing it, it's like you're seeing it, and I try not to touch it. I try, in fact, that was like a pact that I made with them. I said, I will repeat, you know, at first it was a repeating. I would repeat what I would hear. And mm-hmm. I said, I promise I will not touch it. I will keep it pure. And then now it just comes through. It'll just, you know, I don't have a chance to touch it. It comes so fast, you know. So, but
touching, you mean filtering it through your conscious mind?
Right. I won't change it in any way.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, cool.
And that's what I meant by that. You have to always consider that filter there. There's always a consciousness there. There's always a filter there. So because that conscious mind is there, you know, and it can affect it. Something else I noticed, like for me personally, when I would like your input on this too, like when you do the pendulum, and anybody else who does anything like this, if I'm connected to the question or the outcome, like if it's something that of a personal nature, you know, it's like it's something I want, you know, when I'm connected to it. It's really hard for me to get detached, you know, and I can feel myself in there. And so I don't rely on the information coming through. I just don't know. I'm very skeptical of the information that comes in. How do you feel about that?
I think that's a common experience. And I think to a degree, it's very, very healthy. I mean, you know, I could say I'm channeling, you know, that I'm meant to be the president of the United States, you know, that doesn't mean that's quite right. So, you know, when I'm channeling, you know, that's how mine started out. Mine started out very personal with messages from my father that had passed. So, you know, I had to sit there with that and really feel what I was connecting into and what the message was saying. And for me, I became very familiar with that feeling. The messages from my dad sounded very much like him. It was his sense of humor. It was, you know, similar points of view that he had while he was on Earth, but he also had this beautiful global perspective on himself, on his life experiences, on his family, that he didn't have, as easily, I would say, you know, towards the end of his life here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, Julia. I mean, you're in a kind of a unique scenario where I'm sure, you know, right after she passed, people were getting a hold of you. And, you know, like you said earlier, and, you know, there's a little, to me, there's a little bit of, I don't know how to say this properly. I'm going to say weirdness, but that's not quite the word I'm looking for. Of how that must feel. I would imagine that, you know, my mom is still alive. If my mom had passed and it had been fairly recent and somebody was saying, oh, you know, she came through and she had this. I mean, I would imagine there's a part that's like, wow, that's cool if it resonates, but you know, how do you tell somebody that doesn't know you so well? You know, I really applaud you. I mean, I don't know if people really take that into heart. You know, this is your mom.
Right. Well, and that's what I was saying before. I don't know that they do take that into account.
Yeah.
There, she has family. It's not just me. There's a whole family.
And it's almost like, you know, some of these that are popping up are, it's almost like she's a commodity, you know, mm-hmm. There's a real creepy feel to this.
Mm-hmm.
And, has anybody ever reached out to you that, without going public first and to try to share with you a message, you know, to ask your opinion if you felt it was on task?
And that's a wonderful question. I've had, I've had just like a handful of people have come to me and just shared that they received a message and just asked me, you know, if it sounded, correct. And that was it, you know, just like maybe a handful. And that was just like, they received a personal message and it wasn't going public or anything. They just said they received, or they were delivering a message. And some of them sounded like it could be. Some of them, no way. There's just no way it's her, you know? And the ones that's no way, I just say, thank you. You know, I don't say, you got to be kidding. I don't tell them anything like that. I just say thank you and then go on. And, but I've had one person who, wrote me, and it's just been very recently. And, she is writing a book, and she was just doing some automatic writing with her mother, for some information for her book.
So her mother was alive or had passed?
No, her mother had passed.
Okay.
And so she was doing that with her mother. And then when she finished with her mother, she, for some reason, decided to connect with Dolores, with my mother. And then she received some information that was relevant to the book. And so then she asked Mom if it would be okay if she used her name in the book. And Mom told her to contact me and ask, yeah, and ask if it would be to validate her words, and if I validated it, you know, if ask her to validate her words, and then if I did, and then if it would be okay. And so that was, she did that. She contacted me and told me the story, and you know, and then I said, well, okay, I'll look at it. You know, I'm willing to look at what you've written. And then she sent it to me, and oh yeah, it was Mom. It was very obviously Mom.
And
yeah. So, but see here, she ran the risk of being told no, just like anybody else would be, you know, if they were to do that. But yeah, one person.
Wow. That really speaks of her integrity.
Absolutely.
And you know, how hard was that to do, you know, to reach out? I mean, I don't know, you know, I guess when people put it out as fact, you know, that she's coming through and this is what she's saying, you know, honestly, I loved her as much as anybody. And, you know, I'll listen and, you know, because, you know, maybe they are, you know, and wouldn't that be great? And, you know, there's always that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do try to be objective when I'm listening to them. If I know who they are, if I don't. And, you know, there's things that are said or written that are just huge red flags.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
they usually pop up very early in the conversation, you know, what it is. And it's like, oh, wow. Never in a million years would I imagine that Dolores would say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like, are you kidding me? Really? You know, and maybe there's some kernels of information that are universal, that are supportive and great. And of course, that's wonderful. But then, you know, but then there's the blaring flags of things mm-hmm. that are just so blatantly not her. And right. To me, that just makes me step back and go, yeah, you know, I don't think so on this one.
Right. And that's where I really want everyone to, I want people to think and use their own discernment. I mean, if you ever knew Dolores, if you were ever around her, if you ever listened to her, if you ever anything, you know what words she used. And more importantly, you know what words she didn't use.
Yeah. Well, you know, and unfortunately, I think you also have to take into account people that put that out, you know, what's their motivation?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, gets into the left, you know, ego thing. And unfortunately, it's just, you know, we're in kind of a weird, chaotic time on Earth. But, and I think some of this is, you know, it's that too. It's, you know, showing different sides of reality, I guess. And, you know, some people are on one side and some people are somewhere else. But it's so heartwarming to hear that somebody had the integrity to contact you privately and ask, you know, put themselves on the line. My gosh, that must have been...
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's courageous, I guess.
Very courageous. That's what I told her. Well, and her whole subject matter is very courageous. And so, and Mom even told her she was very brave. And so, and she is, she's a very brave soul, all the way around. So,
well, from one trailblazer to another, I think.
Absolutely. In fact, that was a lot of the information. That's what was said in the email, was that they were both trailblazers and way showers. So see, you picked up on that.
I channeled that just now.
Mm-hmm, I think so. Oh, that's funny. Well, that was.
I think these others, maybe they don't have bad intention, but, it's just, it still makes you feel yucky, you know, when the red flags pop up, it just is like, ooh, how can you really validate anything that's said then?
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. When you find one major thing, and then in the whole thing, it knocks the whole thing off, you know?
Okay.
And, yeah.
So in your point of view, have you heard from anybody or seen or read anybody that you felt that was on point other than this one person?
Not yet.
That's interesting. So I guess, with all of it, I mean, I love Abraham Hicks and I love Bashar and.
Were you asking me about that have sent messages from her? Or were you saying in general?
No, in general.
Oh, in general?
No, messages about Dolores.
Okay. Yeah. No. That's what I meant. Not yet. No.
Not yet. So I can't wait to read this lady's book.
I know. Me too. That's why I told her if she received any more messages, I asked her to send them. So.
Oh, that is really exciting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Well, and one thing that mom, that happened early on, I think it was when the ETs, when she started communicating with the ETs, they said, it'd be a lot faster and easier if we just came through you, because they were having to do this kind of back and forth. The person was asking them and then repeating it and stuff. And they said, it'd be a lot easier if we just came through you. And she's like, no, that's okay. That's okay. I prefer we continue doing it this way, because I want to stay the objective reporter. It was very important for her to stay objective. And so, yeah, this is really important to her.
So do you think that would change when she crossed over into those higher realms?
Well, I don't know. Now in the higher realms, she's got a bigger view up there. She's got, to me, she's got the bigger picture and more objectivity. So... I don't know, but I just know that when she was here, she wanted to be objective. She wanted to stay, where at least she wasn't bringing it in herself, and she wasn't attached to it, to the information in that way. She could stay objective and be the reporter and the investigator. So,
right.
That's what I'm saying. Just use your discernment. Just, and that's one thing, that they said, you keep your personality, you keep those parts of yourself, when you go, they just become grander and broader.
Right.
Understanding. So.
Well, it's kind of like, I love this book. I can see the cover. I can't think of the name of it. The gal that whose brother came through to her. I think I gave you this book, Julia.
Oh, shoot. And I'm going to do it too. The brain fog here.
Oh my gosh. What is that?
We both know what we're talking about. So go ahead.
Anywho, You know, when her brother, who died tragically, came through her, and I think she was a chiropractor, just, you know, normal Jane. Mm-hmm. You know, I think even knowing her brother intimately, she's very careful with that information to, you know, weigh it out with her heart and her head. And you know, in that beautiful description of that book, we've come up with it probably right after the radio show. You know, he had such an elevated, beautiful view of his life experience, which really looked like kind of a mess.
Fingers.
The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. And so from this other point of view, he could describe, you know, the beauty of what looked so messed up here, you know, and how it helped the soul. And, you know, those messages resonate so much, I think, because it's so much about support and love. And it's, you know, when messages get really weirdly strange about, you know, changing her process or denying something that she was real adamant about in this lifetime, you know, I think it's just really, really hard to validate that.
Exactly. Yeah, I just, you know, maybe I'm not being objective, but I just have a hard time with that as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, people need to, that's, you know, I was just having a conversation, oh my gosh, like two weeks ago, mm-hmm. with somebody who is well known in the spiritual community. And she brought this up of, you know, she was just actually quite astounded at the audacity of some of these people that are saying that they're channeling Dolores and, you know, that no inclination to get validation before it gets put out there. And I think, you know, I think you have to remember that she was a celebrity. She was well known. She was respected. She was a teacher, a master. But mm-hmm. she's people's family.
Right. Right. And I realize, you know, I know some people say when you're a celebrity, it doesn't matter. You're out, you know, you can, it gives you right. They have rights to you, you know, and,
yeah.
and maybe that's true. Maybe that's so. But I just, you know, I'm just trying to bring some attention, you know, attention to it, you know, as far as maybe, you know, if you're not thinking about that, please think about it. Please notice.
And when you have people that you know are doing that, please let us know.
Mm-hmm. You know, because it could be, you know, if you're, you know, maybe you're just doing it without realizing that this is affecting other people.
Right.
And yeah. And just because nothing's being said doesn't mean it's okay. So, and I was just like, you know, it's time to set the record straight.
Well, you know, and if I can just say, you know, I'm a friend of yours, but I have been in the community in different capacities, and I really admire how you take this in. I don't think I could be as graceful about it. But I really have seen you look at it from all sides and try to do and say the best thing. So, I just want to tell you that I'm impressed with you on that.
Oh, well, thank you. thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. it's not easy sometimes. So anyway, yeah, this is different. Not a situation I had ever intended to be in, and not one I ever, you know, it's not one you can prepare for. No. So there, think about that one a minute, people. How do you prepare for something like this? Okay. But just, you know, if we can just, you know, but that's what we wanted to, really just be more conscientious and discerning, conscientious when you're getting the messages and just putting them out there, and discerning when you're hearing them. Mm-hmm. I guess that's really what we, what we wanted to say, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Okay, and then our other little bit of news. I want to get. Oh gosh, I feel like it's heavy.
That's okay. Do we have time for one more caller or no?
I don't know if we have one.
You do have.
We do. Is
Ron?
Oh, he's still on there. Okay. I'm sorry. Well, Ron. Hi, Ron. Are you still there? Hi.
Hi.
I just, how are you?
The reason I called is so 5 minutes ago. I think you were talking about the afterlife of Billy Fingers.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, we remembered the name of the book. But you also, yeah. Now you also do a type of, you receive messages. How do you receive your messages, Ron?
Okay, I'll take a couple of minutes if I might. I started out with Suzanne's pendulum work, the TAUK, she calls it. Mm-hmm. And that has, over the last 3 or 4 years, morphed quite a bit. However, I still use her pendulum to make sure that I'm connected, and I still use it in the discerning process that you're discussing. If I have anything that doesn't resonate immediately with me as true, I always check it. I use the pendulum to say, you know, did I get this right or not? You know, something else that you were discussing, I also found very early on that if it is personal, I cannot rely on myself to get the unadulterated truth. I'm going to get what I call my druthers. Suzanne, you know, Paul Selig, he doesn't rely on himself either, even though he's clairaudient.
Right.
He goes to a friend in Connecticut when he needs to ask personal questions. So this is, you know, this is quite common.
Yeah, that's what I go to someone else when I have personal questions. Yeah, I don't rely on myself. It's not reliable.
Right, exactly. Not. Yeah, because you know what answer you want already.
Exactly. That's why I always say, I, is this wishful thinking or is this? You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
but this is a very, very interesting topic. I think it's been a wonderful show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ron. I'm sorry I kept you on hold. I thought you were just having the name of the book, and I knew we had figured it out. So I apologize for keeping you on hold.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for taking the call.
Sure. Thank you.
Bye, Ron.
Bye.
Well, very quickly, the other thing I wanted to talk about was Mom's next book. I am working on it. And so, I mean, it's just it's still in the beginning stages. It was her next one to come out, and it's The Horns of the Goddess. You know, remember when she talked about that one? And that's the magic in the Middle Ages.
Oh, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. And it is cool. It's really cool. Yeah. So I'm And it's all about the, yeah, it's a lot. And this is one that mom was very, this is why it sat for a while. She was very reluctant to put it out.
Really?
And yeah, because it's about the churches and everything. Oh. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. So you want to let me do it, huh? Uh-huh. Okay, oh that's wonderful. Thank you.
Wow. You know, really though, Julia, I mean, how timely, right? Because everything's kind of topsy-turvy right now in the world.
Yeah. But it's really good. And it shows how long this has been going on. And it really, you can really see it. It gives you this broad view and some statements that are made in there about the downfall and everything. And it's just, it's really good. It's very good material. It's just right now I'm in the stage of doing a lot of research in the back material, the back supportive stuff. So anyway, so there we are. And I'm hoping maybe, you know, we have it finished by in time for the transformation conference. Maybe we have a release by then. So
it's coming like in June?
Yeah, we can have our fingers crossed. That'd be my goal.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting. So yeah. I guess people could just be checking the website, Those Arc Mountain Publishing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We'll make announcements. Yeah, as we're getting closer and on the radio show too. And I think we're probably getting close here now. So we probably need to go ahead and sum it up. And thank you so much, Suzanne, for being here with me, because this has been a really good topic that we needed to get taken care of.
Yeah, always happy to help out.
Yeah. And thank you everyone for being here with us. And thank you for our callers. We love you all. And until next week, we love you and make it great. Good night, everyone.